Let's get started. Okay, let's get started, everyone.
Like the screen, I guess I don't.
Or do. I'll give it to you.
Okay. Right. Okay, I'd like to recognize the secretary to call the roll.
Director Evans?
Here.
Director Crawford?
Here.
Director Smedberg?
Here.
Director Horner?
Here.
Alternate Director Marudian for Director Price?
Here.
Director Goldman?
Here.
Director Dorsey? And Director McMillan?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I'd like to move the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion of the agenda?
Sure.
Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Yes, I'd like to ask that the item B, approval of parking fees, be taken off the consent agenda. I do have some questions about that that I would like to raise with the general manager or staff.
Okay, we'll move that off of the consent agenda and take that as a separate matter. Any further discussion of the agenda? Okay, all in favor of the agenda with the addition from Mr. Goldman, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the March 28, 2019 board meeting. I'll move the approvals. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda, Mr. Wiedefeld, is the employee spotlight.
Good morning. For April's employee spotlight, we're recognizing two plant maintenance carpenters, Mr. Robert Campbell and Mr. Jason Dillon, if you could stand, please. Last month, they were inspecting a platform shelter at Addison Road Station when they heard cries for help. An elderly man had fallen onto the tracks. Our employees quickly jumped into action. Mr. Dillon rushed to push the red emergency trip button, which is designed to turn off the third rail power, and Mr. Campbell rushed over to reassure the man that they would help him get back on the platform as safely and quickly as possible. At the same time, another Metro customer tried to help and jumped onto the tracks. Mr. Campbell urged him to get back on the platform for his own safety. Although the red emergency trip button had been pressed, employees are trained to wait for verification that the third rail power has been turned off before entering the tracks. Once the customer who jumped on the tracks was safely back on the platform, Mr. Campbell worked with him to pull the elderly man onto the platform. While all this was going on, Mr. Dillon coordinated with the station manager to alert the Rock about what was going on and suspended the rail service in the immediate area. Mr. Campbell stayed with the man who had fallen as they waited for the paramedics to arrive. Once the situation was resolved and the customer was in the care of paramedics, the two carpenters went back to work fixing the platform shelter. While this carpenter team is not typically on the front lines of customer service, they were responsive, caring, and followed their training to keep everyone safe. This was quite an experience for Mr. Dillon, who had just joined Metro 4 months prior. We are grateful to have him and Mr. Campbell, who recently celebrated his fifth year with us here at Metro. Please join me up for a photo, if you could.
Next item on the agenda is our public comment. We'll start with Mr. Michael Bell. Mr. Bell. Mr. Bell, welcome to the Metro Board. I can't hear you, so maybe pull that mic up a little.
I'm going to pull my work out again. Really deserve that.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Bell. Our next witness is Rico Dorsey. I'm sorry? Dancy, all right. Dancy. Mr. Dancy, welcome to the Metro Board.
This shouldn't come as a surprise. After all, Transdev has been involved in other Vermont-related service contracts. Special access Transdev racked up nearly $2 million if they damage from Vermont for failing to meet one-time performance standards by workers. By paying workers, minimum wage is being rivals. Despite knowing all of these, look at unprecedented steps of travel, prioritizing the bus service, getting putting in Transdev pain. What you are doing is holding, what are you doing? Hold this company accountable, protect its employees, ensure safe and one-time performance ground.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Thomas. And our final witness is Michelle Peterson. Welcome to the board, Ms. Peterson.
And members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Michelle Peterson, and I'm a Central Vermont Arrive and employee. I'm here today to refresh I was shocked when I heard that a private national contractor was being put in charge of delivering medical services in the district. I had hoped that transit leaders had learned their lesson from the failures of other contractors and medical access and mobility at the DC Circulate. Since you haven't, let me walk you through what transit riders experienced just a couple of years ago. If you hop on the DC Circulate bus in 2015 or 16 and talk to a driver, they would tell you how they were paid several dollars less per hour than Metro, despite being on the same street every day. They were also hit at safety concerns, from bad brakes to doors flying open as the bus sailed through the street. Riders didn't have to talk to anyone to know when the AC was broken in the summer or the heat malfunctioned. Many of us thought the big difference was the Metro workers had cleaned and circulated did not, but that wasn't true. The real difference, DC Circulate was run by a private contractor and Metro Bus Bus. Then the real shock came when WTOP reported that an audit done for Ramada and DDOT showed that 95% of the circulated buses were in such a state of despair that they shouldn't be on the road. 95%, the worst part. We only got the bad report because circulating workers did their own safety job and pushed DDOT to be one that will be covered up month. Now in Virginia, Vermont is in a private contract to get the union out of the bus garage to cover up the safety problems on that. When will you stop selling our safety to the lowest bid and start doing something?
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker is the report by the Accessory Advisory Committee, Mr. Posner. Mr. Posner here? Welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Posner.
Good morning. Four doesn't work. I'd like to talk about all the work that the bus rail and the transit system is in the right direction. There's been a lot of work with Thank you. The other thing that we observe of part of the program that we have there. And one of the things that they're pushing for is reorganization to go to that logical direction. And another thing that has more personal description is everybody that works at both of those pick up taking a straight on that. Along that same line, when it comes to the organization, through the testing, we have a question to ask. There are testing available to us. There are testing available. One of the things that ICE would like to be made available for full draws. The other thing we ask for is
Okay, thank you, Mr. Posner. Any questions for Mr. Posner? No? Okay, thank you very much for your report today. Next, the report by the Writers Advisory Council, Mr. Dorsey.
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
So since the Writers Advisory Council has recently reorganized under new leadership, with your indulgence, I would love to be able to invite the new chair, Colin Roosh, to deliver the report this month.
Sure, Mr. Dorsey, that'd be
fine. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Metro Board.
So I won't necessarily talk about every aspect. So we have that family of staff. I would say general practice that In terms of power, especially if it's the part of the county. So in terms of our priorities, customer service is a big one. There are moderate and small tweaks that are made that have that they experience riders and digital. This includes things like making sure station out visible help riders, taking basic steps to check on things like on the best. And providing useful, accurate information. Transparency is a big concern of ours as an agency. Speaking of accurate information, let's face it, this agency suffers. Keeping a tight lid on things like planning efforts, debt recommendations, improving ridership, acquisition, construction, and even data. To that end, we look forward to greater penetration.
Okay, hold on. Any questions at all? And tell us your name again.
My name is Paul Rouge.
Okay. Well, congratulations on your election, and we look forward to working with you as we go forward. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the chair. So good morning, everyone, and excuse me. I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate our general manager and his staff for addressing one of today's most important issues, and that's the energy usage and its impacts on our environment. This past Monday, on Earth Day, Metro announced the creation of its Energy Action Plan. The plan is a detailed roadmap to reduce energy usage, cut greenhouse gas emissions, and generate up to $29 million annually in energy and operational cost savings. The initiative is a commitment by Metro to invest in energy-efficient technology, modernize operations, promote innovation, and reduce operating costs. The net energy savings resulting will be the equivalent of taking 35,000 vehicles off the road each year. Riders can now see the environmental benefit of choosing Metro through a new sustainability calculator on the Trip Planner at WMATA.com. Each time a rider plans a trip, results will include information on how much that trip contributes to reducing the region's carbon footprint. It's this type of innovative thinking and strategic planning that will ensure a sustainable future for Metro. As part of the Energy Action Plan, I invite everyone to take a look at the electric bus we have on display outside in the front of the building. And that concludes my report. I'll now turn the floor over to the general manager for his report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did want to build on some of your comments on the Energy Action Plan and sustainability efforts. This is a five-year plan. It's a culmination of many, many months of hard work undertaken by the sustainable team here at Metro. Many initiatives within the Energy Action Plan are already underway. For example, we are completing upgrading the interior of all the stations and facilities to energy-efficient LED lighting, making stations brighter and safer for our customers. As we ramp up our capital investment to rebuild Metro system, our capital program team is committed to incorporating similar practices in project design and implementation. One example of that is with the Metro's new headquarter buildings, which will be designed to lead platinum standards, the highest level of energy efficiency in green buildings. Together with our riders, we are committed to making Metro a sustainable choice for the region. On Earth Day, on a lighter note, we also launched a new lighthearted advertising campaign. We wanted to find a unique way to cut through the noise and highlight how Metro helps reduce regional CO2 emissions. The campaign features tagline, "More Metro, Less CO2," and highlights a few of the ways riding Metro can help reduce carbon emissions and save popular favorite Washington favorites like coffee and happy hours and things of that sort. Again, to try to get people to understand how important Metro is in reducing your footprint, carbon footprint. So now we've posted those ads at all 91 stations, and I encourage you to check out those on our social media accounts and to share those with your communities. Moving to the financial side, as you know, we've worked hard over the last few years to maintain a sound financial controls and reporting. And obviously remain good stewards of taxpayer dollars. Well, recently we started the annual year-end, we've started the year-end financial audit process. Our goal is to receive an on-time clean audit for the fourth straight year. The audit process will not conclude until late 2019, and I'll report to the board as that progresses. In terms of the platform improvement project that's getting away at the end of May, I just want to provide a little bit more context around our decision to extend this summer's platform project, the additional 6 days. Since this is a holiday week, that includes just 4 business days. As our contractors prepared in recent months for this major construction project, they explored options for permanently fixing what we all know as the Braddock Hump. The platform, for those of you who haven't been there, the platform at the south end of the Braddock Road Station is 2 to 4 inches higher than the train floor, creating a barrier for wheelchair users exiting a train and posing trip hazards for all of our customers. Unlike the platform work at the remaining stations, the contractor must install 6 shoring towers at Braddock Road Station to support the 1.6 million pound platform deck. Once this deck is supported by the 6 shoring towers, the platform deck can be lowered and new bearing plates installed. At that point, once the hump has been removed and the structure is sound, then we can do the planning, the platform work, the edge work that we're doing at the other stations. We believe it's critical to take advantage of this planned summer outage to eliminate this longstanding safety issue. There's no doubt this project creates major inconvenience for our customers. To help mitigate that inconvenience, we have requested the board approval of a waiver of all parking fees at Franconia, Springfield, Huntington, and Van Dorn Station throughout this summer's platform improvement project. We believe that waiving these parking fees at these stations will also make it easier for riders to take advantage of the extensive shuttle bus operation that we've planned to put in place. While 9 of the 10 customers, as we've surveyed and reviewed data, 9 of the 10 customers in the impacted stations are aware of the coming shutdown, we'll be out in the stations in the coming weeks to help plan for their travel alternatives. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wiedefeld, any questions for the general manager? Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wiedefeld. Our next item on the agenda is the parking fee waiver for the platform reconstruction project. Staff requests board approval to waive parking fees at 3 stations, Franconia Springfield, Van Dorn Street, and Huntington, during the summer's blue-yellow line platform reconstruction project to make it convenient for riders to use replacement bus service. The estimated $2 million revenue loss is covered as part of Metro's capital budget for the project, so there is no operating subsidy impact to the jurisdiction. So I'd like to move this item at this time. Is there a second? Any discussion? Mr. Goldman?
Yes. I fully support this idea. I think it's a very good, innovative solution, but I do have a few questions that just go to what's the effect on the capital budget and understand where this fits in the broader picture of a capital project. So I think the first question is the $2 million that you're quoting comes over 2 budget cycles, FY19 and into FY20. So first question is, how much of it is in FY20 as opposed to FY19?
Okay, to the general manager.
Sure. I don't have the exact number on that, Mr. Goldman. I can get that for you. But, you know, proportionally, it's about, you know, it's about almost half. Because you think you were going to be, we're going to be, well, less than, about a third, a little less than a half. I'm sorry, about a third. Okay. It'll be the month of May. We're starting around May 25th, so.
And does the $2 million include the extra week for Braddock Road that was announced during the last week to 10 days?
I believe it does.
I believe it does. All right. Now, in your In the colloquy with Mr. McMillan, that revealed that there is a total pot here in the capital budget of $23.4 million, where this little over $1 million will come out of. Of that $23.4 million, how much of that is for the platform rehabilitation project in FY20, and how much of it is for other projects, and could you identify what those other projects are that are covered within the $23 million?
I don't have those exact numbers in my head. I can get those for the board and present the breakdown of that entire $23
million. Let me ask you, if you don't know the number, what are the other capital programs besides the platform reconstruction that are included in that?
Basically, any major capital project that we're shutting down and, in effect, driving ridership down, that's what we're trying to recoup. That's what we're doing there. And we're also trying to do that when other entities impact the system. So, for instance, on I-66, when eventually they have to put overpasses above the rail, which may cause a shutdown of the system. Purple Line, same situation. Because again, that's when someone else is also impacting the revenues of the agency, and that should be part of their capital programming as well.
Is I-66 included in FY20 as part of that?
I don't believe so, because it really depends on when they're doing their work. So that gets negotiated with their contractors. So we will continue to do that.
So to the extent that we'll be doing I-66 and maybe the Purple Line, Silver Spring. Is the same concept going to apply, that we would propose to waive parking fees on parking garages?
I think it depends on the situation. I mean, this one is obviously something that we worked very closely with the community over the last 3 months. This was a high priority for them. Given the nature of the trips, it does make some sense. It makes a lot of sense in this case. I think we should look at each case individually. Sometimes it may or may not. If you have other alternatives to get to other parking garages, for instance, and we can handle it, then maybe you don't do that. But I think you should be a case by case.
And so the $1 million, since that wasn't programmed in the budget originally, is the anticipation that there will be some sort of movements around the $23 million to accommodate everything in the $23 million, or would you anticipate that there would be need for a budget amendment sometime during the fiscal year?
I think we should see what some of the data shows us first. I mean, you know, we're taking our best guessing what that impact is. You know, we really don't have a good handle, you know, that to that finite yet. But as that goes along, as we get those numbers, if we have to come back for an amendment, we will.
Okay. I think we'll look forward to getting the breakdown of how the $23 million is divided on different projects, okay, how much of it is assigned to the platform and how much is assigned to other projects and what those other projects are.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for letting me ask those questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Goldman. Any further questions on this item? Questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of the item signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is our consent agenda. We have three items on the board's consent agenda today. I understand Mr. Horner will be recusing himself from this vote due to a conflict of interest with item B. His law firm represents the Department of Rail and Public Transportation. So Mr. Horner will now leave the dais. Okay. I guess he's already gone. I would like to move approval of the following. A, approval of the parking lease for Bladensburg Bus Facility Reconstruction. Staff request approval of a short-term ground lease with Jamal Schaefer's LLC for a 4.8-acre parcel to be used for bus parking during the Bladensburg Bus Facility Reconstruction Project. The lease term is for 5 years with 3 one-year renewal options. Item C, whistleblower policy update. Staff request board approval of an updated whistleblower rights and responsibility policy, which was last updated in 2015. Revisions, number one, streamline the whistleblower panel process, and number two, emphasize the importance of coordinating with whistleblower investigations. And item D, indemnification of Virginia and the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation. Staff request board approval of an indemnification of the Commonwealth of Virginia and the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation as part of the proposed dedicated funding agreement. Those are the items on the consent agenda. I'd like to move approval of the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on any of the items? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Last items on the agenda are the reports by the jurisdictions from the District of Columbia. We just mourned the loss of Washington Capitals last night. On the bright side, Metro did stay open 20 minutes after the end of the game, which went into double overtime. And I appreciate the Metro doing that for all of the fans of the Washington Capitals. That's my report. Mr. Crawford from WSTC.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Mr. Smedberg, NBTC.
No report, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Horner, are you back? Yes, from the federal government.
The federal government has a report of 3 minutes duration. All right. The federal government would like to report on events in the U.S. capital markets that are directly relevant to WMATA. Coincidentally, in the week following the board's approval of WMATA's 2020 budget, Lyft raised $2 billion in its initial public offering on the stock market. Separately, within weeks, Uber will raise approximately $20 billion in its own initial public offering. So very soon, the preeminent transportation network companies of the world will together have raised $22 billion to continue the transformation of the transportation landscape in the United States and around the globe. The federal government also wants to report that within the last year, there has appeared a series of academic studies demonstrating that transportation network companies, such as Uber and Lyft, are taking significant market share from public transportation, and that conversely, virtually no evidence has been produced that public transportation is competing effectively with TNCs. Indeed, the board should be aware that in their disclosures to the markets of potential business risks and problems, nowhere has either Uber or Lyft called out a competitive threat from public transportation. Could this be because they have already won the race for ridership? To answer this question, may I recommend, in my personal capacity and not on behalf of the federal government, that the board convene a committee to specifically study strategies for interface with TNCs and how to thrive in the era of Uber. That is the end of the federal report.
And Lyft, right?
And Lyft.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your report. Last is the request for the executive session. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection A, budgetary matters that may affect legal positions, WMATA contracts, or sensitive relationships with local jurisdictions for the federal government, and D, contractual or other matters involving confidential or proprietary concerns or the investment of public funds for discussion in public would adversely affect the financial interests of WMATA, and E, audit matters and investigations to include, for example, audits of IT security matters and investigations to be referred, for further criminal investigation or prosecution. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. And we'll see everybody upstairs. And with that, the meeting's adjourned.